Hey everyone, welcome back to the Are You the One reality TV wrap up for episode 5. Slowly but surely, we are making it through this crazy season, and I am joined by my partner in Are You the One Crime, Adam Bongiovanni. Adam, what's up?
And I think it's good that you mentioned Are You the One Crime, because we touched on a lot of that last week, so I feel like that's a good it's nice that you brought that in.
Yeah, everything comes full circle with Are You the One.
That's life.
Obviously.
Just life.
That's life. So, what'd you think of this episode, you know, sort of overall? We got a sort of a return to form, so to speak.
Yeah, we're back to basics here. So, I think it's a good episode when the person you hate the most is someone new. And, like, someone new kind of brings themselves to the front. So, I was happy with this episode. I was thoroughly entertained.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. I didn't think about ebbs and flows here with Adam's hatred. Yes. So let's get into it. Let's waste no time. I think starting off the episode, we get a little lovey-dovey moment with Olivia and Kareem that I had nothing to really write down. I was just like, oh, they're in love. And now I see why, sort of going through the episode, they started off with that.
Yeah. What is the quote from Kareem? I am so in love. No, what did he say? Like, he didn't say I'm in love with you. I know this was last episode, but he said, I'm so in love
for you.
That's what it was. What? Like, see, we should have known at that point that they were destined for failure when he said, I'm in love for you. And I don't know. I almost forgot that they showed them in the beginning of the episode, like, being lovey dovey.
I will say I just said it again. Damn it. Okay, whatever. One of my favorite things about podcasting with you, Adam, is that you get, like, audibly distressed about things. Yeah. Oh, what?
I know. They all bother me so much. And I think it's because I love them so much. So they're so close to my heart that when they do something stupid, it's just like my children messing up.
That's amazing. Yeah, we're old enough to be their parents, for sure.
Except for Ethan. He's like 40.
So speaking of Ethan, how do you like your boys' like game here to Alexis? Want to make out?
That was
gets
weird.
A kiss out of it.
That was so weird. Like, it was just, it felt like that's like what he does. Like, now it gave me kind of a better grasp on his game in the house. Obviously, it's not going to plan. He's not like coupled up with anyone. And I feel like Alexis is the type of girl who's just like, you know what? If this guy needs a kiss, I'm going to give him a kiss. So I feel like that was a nice gesture on her part. But I'm not a big fan of the whole going up to someone asking for a kiss and like, that's your game. I think you have to be a little more subtle and smooth than that if you want to make it long term.
But see, it depends on the guy, because one of my favorite moments in reality television history happened on Big Brother when Frank says to Ashley, want to go make out on the couch?
True.
And she's like, sure, because it's Frank.
Yeah.
So Ethan doesn't get to play like as easy as Frank. But I don't know. I respected it a little bit. Like, it was kind of goofy and funny as opposed to another horrific moment when I forget his name, but someone on Bachelor or Bachelor Pad or Bachelor in Paradise or Bachelor in Space was like, may I kiss you? Like, that's worse than like, want to make out?
Yeah, no, that's I feel like it could have been Evan in The Bachelor. Like, I feel like he probably did something like that. Like, may I kiss you? Like, it's just so cringy.
No, but I remember who it was, but I don't remember the guy's name.
Well, to me, like, I guess, you know what? You're right. It deserves some sort of, like, pat on the back. And it is Are You the One, so I should expect cringe. And I guess it could be better than Malcolm, like, coming up with some weird word to describe him hooking up with DeAndre. Like, I'm okay with Ethan. It's not the worst thing that we've seen.
Yeah, it is, like, there are varying degrees of asking people to put their face on your face.
Yes.
This was like the least cringer of the option, especially because it materialized in results, which Alexis had no obligation. I'm not trying to say that Ethan deserved a kiss after this, but it made me like Ethan a little bit more. I'm like still teetering back and forth with him.
Yeah.
And then Dee Dee and Malcolm sipping a Capri Sun like it's bottomless.
Oh my God.
Like, we're all just supposed to assume like they're just a couple. We get no fallout from this, no explanation, which is the big cliffhanger we were left with last episode. What's up with that?
And like, I'm not surprised at all, but I'm kind of happy that we didn't see too much of them yet, because they like, both of them on a high level are just they disgust me. I dislike both of them so much. I hate, I like what Tyler said that like, I don't understand. And it's not only girls. He said white girls do this, but guys do it too. When people are in like a toxic relationship and just keep going back and going back, I understand that you really care about someone, but you shouldn't let yourself get treated that poorly. So just to see Dee Dee like kind of wait in line and wait for Malcolm to be done with doing whatever he was doing with Nerisse and just coming back like she's the perfect silver medal for him. It's really sad. And I think it's even more sad how proud she is of it, because of course she's a pretty girl. Like she could get a great guy, and it's just that she's settling for someone like Malcolm really sucks.
Yeah. It's so bizarre because like Dee Dee has really convinced herself that, Malcolm wanted her the whole time, mm-hmm. that the situation that happened was not actually the situation that happened. Yeah. And Malcolm didn't even have to work at all to sort of get back in her good graces. Like she was working him over the entire time. Like later we'll see with Kareem and Olivia, at least Kareem is showing some remorse. Not that Malcolm necessarily did anything wrong. He's on a dating show that this is the goal, but like, didn't express any feelings for Dee Dee, like, I shouldn't have been with Nerisse. Nothing to make her feel like this would go any differently than it did the first time. And he can't even explain to us, like, their relationship was rocky. Like, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
Yeah.
What?
And it's,
like, that's all I have. What?
It doesn't make sense. And I expect nothing more from Malcolm. I think he's, like, such a level of douche and, like, playboy douche that, like, I don't expect anything from him. He said something and I forgot the quote and I'm really upset that I did. Something game strong, and it was like get over game strong or something along those lines. I don't know the exact words he used, but it was just like how do you even think of saying that? Like it was just super duper cringe.
Yeah, that's probably the theme of this episode, cringe.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know. I'm you're right. I'm glad. I should like be happy we didn't get to see Dee Dee and Malcolm much this episode. This is when this also pissed me off. Dee Dee, who said like she was trying to be low key wifey and it worked. Like you're not low key anything.
What does low key wifey mean? Does that mean like the other woman? Like is that what that's referring to? Like is that just a nice way of putting it?
No, I think like she was maybe cooking something at the time she did this, but it was like. She was trying to, like, low-key show him that she was wife material and not, like, Nerisse. And she was, like, low-key just showing herself to be a respectable woman. And, like, finally he noticed. Dead. Like, oh I God. Was just like, I have nothing to say.
Yeah, it's just, it's, they're so, like, there's nothing that either of them could do, in my opinion, like, that will really bring them around and make them, like, redeemable characters.
What do you think of the way Nerisse is handling this? The fact that she's going to take, like, let Malcolm have space to deal with this. Like, were you surprised that that's her play?
Yeah, like, I feel like nobody in Are You the One ever just sits back and lets things happen. Like, they're all just like, I have to make it. They have to do something immediately. Like, they're all so impatient. So, I do like it because I feel like it's more mature. But I at the same time, if someone, you guys have a silly fight, and this guy goes and hooks up with the girl he swears he's not interested in. Like, wouldn't if in Nerisse's shoes, I feel like you should kind of be like, all right, cut your losses and move on. This guy's obviously the biggest douche in the world. But I understand she has feelings for him. So I respect that she's handling it. I think there are way worse ways she could have handled it.
Yeah, I think like it's almost like most of the maybe not most. It seems like there's kind of like a half and half split of the women in this house in terms of like who's on whose side. But she's just kind of letting Audrey do the talking, like, oh, he's back to his old ways. And like Nerisse doesn't really have anything she can do here because they're not a match. I just was surprised because it's the total opposite of what we saw from Nerisse when Malcolm was first into Dee Dee. Like she didn't do like sort of the Jade of like, give them space, let him know you're interested, or like the Zoe, but like take a back seat for the first few weeks. Mm. So, yeah, I think, like, it would be, like, sad to see her, like, fighting with Malcolm for Malcolm because Malcolm would just blame her when it wasn't her fault at all.
Yeah.
Or I mean the boob thing, whatever, but like that's not why he's with TD.
Yeah, no, he was gonna find anything. If she like spilt milk, he would have definitely flipped out on her for that. Like, so I agree with you, and hopefully her taking a back seat here just will make her maybe develop a connection with someone else, like a Joe or an I almost forgot his name, Ethan. So that, you know what, maybe we'll see a Nerisse develop with someone else.
Hot take. The last people that that Nerisse will develop a relationship with are Joe and Ethan.
I just like picked like the two like most random white guys on the season, so
you nailed it.
I got right on the head there. I forgot Shad, yeah. Though. I didn't say Shad. We'll get to him.
Oh my God.
We'll get to him.
My New Orleans correspondent had a tough week this week, so he was like pretty much asleep on the couch while we were watching. But he would wake up every once in a while and say something ridiculous. It ended up being fine because there was no date, so I didn't need any New Orleans correspondent. But
that's funny.
He sees Shad at the matchup ceremony and is like, has that guy been on the entire time? And then goes, his hair looks like a casserole, and went back to sleep.
What an iconic quote.
Yeah, I think that's he amazing. Nailed him in just like the 1 minute.
For sure. At least someone nailed Shad this season. That's good.
Oh, God. All right. We're off to a great start.
Fantastic start.
Let's talk about Tyler had a tweet that was like their couple name is like Dimitri or Dicole.
Yeah, he's definitely one of my favorites. Of course, his tweets are great, but I just on this show and what we saw this episode, I think it just made me like Tyler more and kind of hope that he finds someone in the house that he could couple up with.
Yeah, I like Tyler, in on Tyler, completely out on Dimitri. I was out on Dimitri last week, but all he says, like, he is so immature, like, she's got a beautiful body. We're cuddling. We're making out. It's nice. I'm like, oh my God. He sounds like Bobby Bottle Service to me, like the Nick Kroll character.
Yes, yes, yes. And like, I feel like watching the Jersey Shore, like he is, because I feel like they all kind of like owned their douchiness. I feel like he thinks it's like cute that he's douchey and like wants to sleep around. And it's super duper. Once again, we're going to butcher this word and nail it into the ground. But he's so cringe. And if we have to see him on a challenge because he's like friends with Corey, I'm gonna never watch the challenge again.
I don't know if Dimitri uses his size, like that he's kind of a small guy, so it's like cute. Like if he were like Keith, like I feel like he would never get away with this.
Yeah, no, and but like
not just, on my watch.
Yeah, just how he acts though, it's just there's nothing good about putting these douche vibes forward. And like And he thinks, like, you could tell he thinks his shit doesn't stink. Like, he's very proud of himself just by, like, walking around. And he bothers me so much. But he's not my least favorite.
Well, that's because when he goes in the potty, his mom, like, is really proud of him.
And she probably has to help him wipe because he can't reach the toilet paper.
Oh, we're so mean.
Yeah, but that's our job here.
Well, it's not our job to be mean, but he's a jerk this episode. And if he demonstrates not being a jerk, it's fine. And I think you nailed it when you said that he doesn't like own it, because his tweets are like, oh my God, why did I say that? I didn't mean it. And like all his bullshit later, like he just is not comfortable being the D-bag that he acts like. So I don't understand.
That's weird.
I do love how Nicole's like, a lot of people wonder why I like him. Like, yeah, same.
And she's like, my dad's going to hate him. And we're like, we all do. Don't worry.
And there's a total difference between being a little kid at heart and actually just being a child.
Yes.
And I think Dimitri exemplifies that.
I think he's 26. Like, I understand being immature at times. Like, I feel like I'm still immature at times. But there's a certain line, in my opinion, that when you're in your mid-20s that you shouldn't cross. And I feel like he's just very frat boy high school, and you should be well beyond that phase at this point in your life.
Yeah, and I agree. We're going to have to talk about Dimitri later, and I'm, like, already dreading it.
Yeah, it's gonna suck.
That's, like, some meta dread within the podcast.
That's funny.
So we have the first sign of cracks between one of the strongest couples in the house before they actually get confirmed as a match or not, where Olivia is starting to talk about how she asked for an Italian boy with like a stupid sense of sarcasm, humor, whatever. And inexplicably, after knowing Keith for a couple of days, is somehow starting to pay him some attention.
Yeah, it's such a random time. Do you think that like she said that earlier on, like maybe when she first started like seeing Kareem, because I feel like at this point she's so into Kareem and like he's in love for her. So it's like, I don't know. I for some reason, the first thing I thought of was that the editing played a factor in her saying this.
Yeah, this could be like, a lot of these moments could probably not be the same night. Like they added this to show that it wasn't just, or to show when Keith and Audrey are talking at the lingerie night, like why Kareem is getting upset because they've been talking, they've been flirting. So yeah, maybe this wasn't all the same night, but either way, I like the cohesive story.
Yeah.
So I don't mind that, but it did strike me as strange. Like there's nothing, you know, almost kudos to Kareem and Olivia at this moment that they're not 1000%. Convinced that they're each other's match, they're still willing to like entertain other people, knowing that, okay, just because I like fell for this person right away doesn't mean that I know who the match is.
Yeah, no, that's a smart way to go about it. And if they like, well, there's so much I want to get into with this couple, so I'll let you like kind of explain how this all goes down, and then we'll just dive right into the Kalivia nightmare of 2017.
I have to explain.
Well, we can both do it.
All right, so let's start out. We have a lingerie night, which I will say, it always kills me when they have these parties in the house, because like they can always have these parties in the house, and maybe they're like only allowed to use music at certain times because of rights, I'm not sure. But like it's still the same people you've been in the house with, the lights are on, like you're not at like a club. It just like kills me when these sort of like people who are stranded in a house like have these like special event nights, like when you see how people have to entertain themselves,
yeah,
with no media.
Yeah, no, it feels like it's just for them to grind on each other in front of everyone. I feel like that's like their reason for it, and like obviously production wants footage, and there's always drama at these parties. But it is funny how it's just like, okay, nothing's really changed except the girls are in their underwear and the guys are half naked.
And then Keith, Mr. America over here, Captain America, reveals this like American vest and American flag vest and booty shorts, and is giving like Jada a lap dance. And I'm just like, yeah, Alexis is definitely a hoe because she like did a kiss on every guy as a dare. And you're like naked straddling another girl. But like, yeah, no, Alexis is definitely the issue.
No, I agree. It's and we haven't really seen much of like, I feel like we've seen Keith, but I don't know Keith, and I don't know like why I feel like I know anyone in this game, because there's,
do you want to know Keith?
No, I'm okay with the edit right now, because I really don't want to get to know him any further.
No, I mean, Keith is like a necessary character here. He's like the Leighton, which I always had problems with Leighton, like a funny little Leighton was started listening to the show, so that was fun. Keith is like a necessary evil on the show for me. Like he's the kind of guy that I've like never encountered in my life. So I don't really know what to make of him. And we don't really get a lot of his inner workings explained because he's just like not the kind of guy to explain it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just waiting for him and Alexis to get back together, honestly.
Yeah, it's because he made a comment about her in the episode, so they're obviously not done yet. So, I'm sure we'll see them back together at some point.
All right, so before we get to Kalivia, we have a couple more lingerie night hiccups to go over. So we have Dimitri again, catcalling Dee Dee. Oh, don't let me lay eyes on her. Like what? Like Dee Dee's going to go for you suddenly. Okay, Dimitri, like I'm really worried about that.
Yeah.
How can you not look at Jolesse? Let's be real. I'm trying to F every girl in this house. Oh, and Nicole's sitting there hearing the whole thing.
Like what? Like him to say that though, like he wants to have sex with every girl in the house. That was like, okay, even if each girl was into him. And like, I feel like that's such a poor life decision to like just go and have sex with X amount of girls. Like it just, and let's be real here. There might be one, two max that'll be interested in that proposal. That was just like, to me, that was the ultimate awful thing he could have said. And it just really made me, there was like, before this, I didn't like him, but like that kind of sealed the deal. I'm like, oh God, he's terrible.
Yeah, and like it's just like forget how many people you want to sleep with in your life. Like that's fine with me, but it's just a stupid strategy in a house where you're living with all of the women and you're supposed to be forming these like quote unquote relationships.
And exactly. No, you're right.
Bad move.
Yeah, really bad move. It didn't for the are you the one? Like I understand like whether it's the real world, are you the one? Whatever people want to hook up, that's cool. But like I don't think it'd be beneficial for him to try to go 11 for 11 or whatever it is.
But Adam, he was just joking. Don't take him joking as being disrespectful.
Oh, yeah, it's true. It's like when people make horrible comments about people and they're like, I'm just kidding. Or they say no offense and expect people not to be offended.
I want to get to Olivia, Keith, Kareem, and Zoe. And right in the middle of all of that madness, we get this disgusting scene with Michael and Audrey.
Ew.
He's not a great dancer, but you don't have to worry about him in that other area.
What does dancing have to do with his penis size? Like, I'm so confused. Like, I don't understand, like, how that even... Was that just his excuse to bring up, like, the size of his bird? Like, I don't understand, like, what the whole...
What?
I don't know. I didn't want to say anything inappropriate, so I just said bird. But
you had already said penis.
Yeah, I know, but I said it once. I feel like we have, a quota where we can't go over, like, one time each saying penis. Like, it's like one of those TV shows where they can only say dick certain amount of times. So, like, I just said bird. I've never used bird for penis before in my life. So I feel like this is a good time to start.
Oh my god, how do I recover from that? So I think he wasn't saying necessarily anything about size, but he, like a lot of people say, like the way you dance is the way you have sex. So he was saying like, I'm a terrible dancer, but we will have wonderful sex together, Audrey.
Yeah, I'm really like,
and she's like, oh yeah, my feelings are there. Yeah,
I'm still like so not into Audrey. Like I just don't like, there's something about her, and I'm sorry, this is really rude, but I just don't like her.
I thought you were gonna say something really rude.
No, I feel like that's mean. Like, for just, like, you know why? Because I feel like with every person in the house, I could back it up. With her, I just feel like she's always putting on. Like, there's not much of a reason. I just don't like her.
Well, you're allowed.
Thanks.
I like a lot of people in this house. Michael and Audrey together just grind my gears. But let's get to the real, the headliner of the night. Yeah. So we start with Zoe, who, I don't know if you noticed, but her like nipples were blurred. So like she's just naked. Respect.
And when she like stood up, like her, she was definitely like not, she was going for it. And she's a pretty girl. So like I think she's always one of the prettiest girls in the house. So like, I thought she was pretty. So now I'm at a loss for words.
No, you appreciated her nudity. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. I definitely appreciate her. And I hope my girlfriend doesn't listen to this podcast.
Well, you're definitely in a better place than Kareem is, so don't worry about that. So Zoe is doing the DD approach of Kareem wants it. Like, Kareem actually wants me, even though he's paying all this attention to Olivia. She sort of makes her move through Gilles. This brought me very much back to, like, early high school dances of like your girl going with you to dance with a guy until you're dancing with him and then she sort of exits. So that was like a very nice wing woman move by Gilles. And Olivia sees this and to just throw daggers into your heart says, I can trust him completely.
Ugh.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's not gonna work so well for you, Olivia.
So then Olivia and Keith are talking in the mass bedroom. And what do you think if you walked in? I don't want to put you and your girlfriend in this situation. If you walked in on another girl talking to Keith in the way they were, what would you have thought?
No, like I could put myself in that position. Like if I walked in and like you see, are they like the way that Keith and Olivia were talking is what you're saying?
Yeah.
No, like if you don't trust your girl talking to another guy, then you obviously clearly don't trust them. So I feel like I was definitely like in the beginning of my relationship and when I was younger, I was a very jealous, like insecure, oh my God, are you going to cheat on me type of guy? And then I realized like, that's so silly and you can't be like that. So for him, when he did that, my brother even said like, he's not letting her talk to another guy. Like, that is a big issue, and I think that reflects a lot on him. What was she doing wrong? Like, there's nothing in that room that she was doing wrong the whole night. Like, she didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, I agree. I thought like their body language, they're very separated. Yeah. Like they were just looked like two friends talking. So he walks in and in true Malcolm fashion gets permission to step out on his lady. So he's not only first he goes to Zoe and it's like poor Zoe, because Zoe's always the woman that the other guys that she likes are complaining about other girls to her. It's like first it's Keith only talking to her about Alexis and then trying to hook up with her. Now it's Kareem like talking about Olivia, saying that, you know, she expects him to just sit there like a bowl of fruit. Okay. Is he being painted? Like, what about a bowl of fruit sitting is Olivia expecting him to do?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know how bowl of fruit came into this. Like, it was just, they just threw the bowl of fruit in there and now we're expected to do something with it.
So Kareem, though, takes it one step further, I think. Olivia doesn't even know this, but to me, this was the worst part of it. So he ends up making out with Zoe. But the issue to me is he's saying that Zoe's the whole care package, which is not the phrase.
No.
She was the first person that he wanted to go for. He swears like swears on everything. Like he wants her. And that is worse than making out with Zoe, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think it was just I think that making out was not a good decision. I think calling her the best care package was not a good decision. To me, the worst was how they went about it afterwards. Because obviously him and Kareem, Olivia and Kareem, I'm not sure if they were like official. If they were, that makes it 10 times worse. But let's say for argument's sake, let's say they weren't like official. Like they were still on Are You the One couple, not like they didn't turn into boyfriend girlfriend and like cross that boundary. The fact that like Kareem didn't go up to her after and make sure that she heard it from him was terrible. And I really hated how Zoe acted and how she went around like kind of like whispering it to people, and it felt very childish to me. And like it really disappointed me in both of them. Not that I have any expectations for Are You the One cast members, but I was just really disappointed.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in myself here because I was like kind of happy for Zoe.
Mm.
It's not any different than Nerisse, but for some reason I felt bad for Zoe throughout this process. It was like, oh, like the guy she likes her.
Yeah.
Score one for the underdog girls, and she goes over to like her friends, like Alexis and Jada, who are also kind of like on the outs with most of the guys, and saying like, I made out with Kareem, like I liked him this whole time, and now we made out. But that's trash. I don't know why I was like in support of her. That's terrible. I think though, what made me feel bad for Zoe as opposed to Nerisse is that Kareem is like, I've always liked you, and giving her the false hope that like they're actually his main thing as opposed to Olivia. And with Nerisse, it was like Malcolm being like, I'm with Dee Dee, and her being like, no, you're with me. And then being okay. So I don't know. Like, I think that Kareem gave Zoe reason to think that this meant something. This wasn't on the sneak. He like said all of these emotionally forward things to her. But yeah, how he handles it, how Kiana handles it, we have to keep breaking this down because it just continues to spiral.
Yeah, no. So then Kiana is with, was she alone when she heard it, or was she with Tyler when she heard like them talking?
What do you mean? Like, so she... Maybe. She went into a room with Tyler and Olivia, and somebody else was there.
But how did she initially? What I'm asking is, how did she initially find out that it happened? Did she see it, or did she?
Zoe.
Okay. So then she goes. Yeah. So it was her, Tyler, Keith, and Olivia, right? In that room, that in like kind of the bedroom with all the beds like on the ground.
Yeah, they were somewhere.
Yeah, okay. Well, they were somewhere in the Are You the One house. So, in New Orleans. So then Kiana tells Olivia, which I think I understand completely. Like, if that's your friend and the guy that your friend has been dating this whole time is hooked up with someone else, like, what do you expect her to do? Like, and when Kareem flips out about it, it just confuses me that much more. We've bashed Kiana to a certain extent because of how silly she acted with the Michael situation. But in my opinion, she was doing the right thing here.
Yes, someone had to tell her. She could have potentially gone to Kareem and said, look, like, you got to tell her I'm going to, like, that kind of thing. Like, you got to tell her. But what made me squirm is when she's like, I'm going to mouth it. Like, she's, like, still acting like a child. Like, I can't. She's not coming to Olivia like, look, I'm one of your best friends. Like, they made out. You got to handle this. Like, whatever. She's like, I have something to tell you.
I'm going to mouth it.
Oh, God. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then it leads to this hilarious miscommunication where she's like, she kidded him?
Like, yeah, she was like, she's like a kid or whatever. Oh, that was so funny. Cause like they couldn't edit it out cause it was so closely in like with the whole, the meat of the conversation. So they had to leave that in there and that was hysterical.
And then Olivia goes to validate it with her eyes as one does and gives the most aggressive thumbs up in the history of thumbs up.
Oh my God. What does Olivia say? She's like, she goes in, gives the thumbs up, and then she kind of comes back and then she breaks down, right?
Yeah, she wanted to see it for herself. What she sees is them hanging out in the pool. And then Keith like makes his move, want a hug. So he's going to hold her while she cries. And then Nicole runs in to tell Kareem that Olivia is freaking out because Kiana told her that they kissed. So now Kareem has somebody else to blame besides him.
Yeah. So then we have Kiana and Tyler in the, I guess like the living room or the open room where Kareem is able to confront them, right?
Yes.
Okay. So then he says, oh, he's flipping out because he said, why is someone getting involved in a relationship? But it's like, dude, he's obviously looking for someone to blame after the mistake he just made. How is he possibly getting mad at someone else and getting mad at someone getting involved when he just hooked up with someone else when he's really been committed to one person in the house? Like, what does this say about Kareem's character and like how he is outside of this? Like, if people don't find something out, like it feels like that would have, he'd been more happy with that.
Yeah, because it's MTV and that's like, he's defensive and you get caught with your pants down, like,
yeah,
lash out a little bit. Tyler tweeted, why are you blaming other people for your actions? And then he wrote all in one word, because you a bitch, that's why. Mm-hmm. And then Tyler said, honestly, now that you put it that way, .. Yeah, like Kareem's response is, well, you're a bitch.
Yep. And this is the episode that turned Kareem into, he's the person I hate the most by far at this point. And it's because we didn't see enough of Malcolm. But it's still, Kareem's definitely in the number one spot for me. And him acting this way and like lashing out and then blaming Tyler, who didn't even say anything in the first place. Tyler was just sticking up for Kiana. And I don't care if like who pushed who in this altercation with Tyler and Kareem. Tyler is the length he has on Kareem and the height. I think it would have been no match for him. I think Kareem would have been on the floor if they really fought.
All I could think of when this came to shoving is how funny would it be if Tyler got sent home for doing nothing but playing backup ukulele to Ethan's rap.
That's what he would have known for in his wonderful tweets, of course.
So when Olivia is saying she doesn't want anything to do with Kareem, I was sitting there with both fingers crossed saying like, please be real, please be real, please be real. But of course we'll see, like, this doesn't stick and both women end up wanting to be, with him. And Zoe's saying, like, he always, like, wanted to be with me and I'm not sorry. It's like, Zoe, how do you not see that he's freaking out because he doesn't want to ruin things with Olivia? Like, this whole anger outburst is because he's pissed at himself for hooking up with you.
Yeah, this is, I don't know, Zoe. Zoe came across when she was saying that, I don't know, she came across as a little, like, not the brightest, and it bothered me because I was like, oh, like I think Zoe's very pretty. So it definitely did not do her any good with the guys in the house, especially like for me, at least, seeing her act like this. And I think she's technically, well, what do you think about this, Allie? Do you think she's in the wrong for doing what she did?
Zoe?
Yeah.
I don't think, as much as I complain about Nerys or I complain about any of them, I really don't think anyone's in the wrong for doing anything on the show.
True.
I think Kareem's having the wrong reaction. Kareem did Olivia dirty.
Yeah.
But nobody's, like, cheating.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I guess it's just their actions are not maybe not the best decision to make. Like, I don't think her doing that is the best decision she could have made at the moment, just because it just, like, for me at least, seeing someone do that, I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan whether it's the person who's with someone or the person who's on the outside of it coming into it do it. I'm not a fan of either decision. options. And I, of course, think Kareem's way more at fault here. But I was definitely not happy with what either of them did.
Right. No, agreed. I'm like exhausted by this mm-hmm. Kareem and Olivia conversation, yeah. The scene. Like, woo, we made it out alive. Then Kareem wakes up the next morning with Clinton saying that. That sounds like they woke up together. No, they in the next morning, he's talking to Clinton and says that he takes ownership and then immediately says at the same time, which is not taking ownership. And kudos to Clinton, the hero of the house, saying like, you're not taking ownership. You shouldn't have done what you did. You knew it was going to kill her.
Yeah.
Thank you, Clinton.
My brother was saying, we were watching and he goes, this might be weird to say. He goes, but like in Clinton might be the prettiest like girl in the house. Like, he is a very pretty human being. Like, if you just look at it, he's a very pretty person. And he also has a great moral compass. I think we hit the jackpot with Clinton as an Are You the One cast member.
I agree. And I wasn't even mad that Uche and Clinton get this random date that they shouldn't be getting.
Yeah.
But love Uche and Clinton. Cool. I think it's like Kaluche is going to be their,
let's
their
hope
couple
they're a
name.
Match. Let's hope they're a match. It's looking better every week.
Every week it gets better, and Uche with this very, like, tender, like, we see a lot of Uche's, like, jokey side or, like, you know, not giving Clinton too much, I forget the exact lines that she uses in the past episodes, but I've always, like, she doesn't fall all over him, she's tough against him and has a good sense of humor, but we see a little vulnerability from Uche, where she says, like, I know you're used to girls wanting you, and, like, Jade is just so ready to hook up with you, like, I don't want you to get tired of us moving at a slow pace, and Clinton loves it. That's what Clinton wants. Like, it's just a relationship full of mutual and self-respect, and I like Clinton, appreciate it.
Oh yeah, I appreciate it too. I think they're two of the most redeeming people in the house, so I love them both. And I if they imagine they find happiness on either one, wow, they both deserve it.
So as we go into the truth booth vote, we get the first sort of like what do we say, like, fallout of the Kareem stuff, but yeah. Who can even talk about that anymore?
Yeah, I think we're done with that. We could just move on.
So Annie wants to know on Twitter, you can always tweet us your questions between the show and 10:30 Eastern time on Thursday. Annie says, in terms of good TV, I've liked that different people have gone into the truth booth every week, unlike Are You the One 3 with Kiki, but is it good strategy?
Wow, I say this more than I should, but I still don't know what defines a good Are You the One strategy. Like, obviously, with the truth booth, it's probably sending in the people who have the best connection. So, and that's what at least what I think. But I still don't know if there's a better strategy to be taken when it comes to the truth booth.
I think if you were to send like Jaless in, you further limit who you think her match could be, because you already have one person blocked out. So that's sort of what happened with Kiki. But at this point, like, I think they've sent some really strong couples into the truth booth, besides Dimitri and Nicole, although they thought they were strong. So I think there's something. They've had really great truth booths up until now, so I'm not going to fault them on this vote here. But they're not a match. I wanted them to be a match. I didn't have to watch Dimitri. I forgot that this would mean Uche and Clinton aren't a match.
Mm. Yeah, short-term goals would have been great, but long-term it would have sucked.
Exactly. So then we get this, like, upsetting scene with Shad and Audrey after Nicole and Dimitri are not a match. And why do all the guys think in the house that what's your favorite color is like a meaningful line?
And this whole conversation with Shad to me was gold, because she was like, yeah, well, like, we all suck at relationships. Or she made a comment like, oh, you're not good with what was it, that he loses interest, or there was something that he does wrong. And he was like, no, I'm actually like, my relationships go really well. It's just, it's always bad timing. And it's like, why Shad does really great in relationships. Shad, why are you here?
Yeah, it's never him, obviously.
This is my opinion on Shad. As like, okay, I like Ethan. I actually like Ethan. Like, I think he's a good person and I root for him. Shad, I don't actually like him. I like the character of Shad. I think he's so funny and outrageous, and like, it doesn't add up why he's there, and that makes me so happy.
The what's his name? Daniel playing the role of Shad? What, or David?
David, his name is David, yeah.
What are you eating over there?
I was drinking water and I was mid swallow, so I had to let you know that it was David Shen.
All right, so we have, I think, the most confusing matchup of the season, and with a great lead in by Malcolm, a lot of people have broken up, including myself.
Malcolm Drummer always coming in strong.
I love that.
You say, you know what? It's good whenever we could give props to Malcolm. I feel like it's very few. It doesn't happen often, but when we do, it means something.
So I have something that in six seasons of Ari the One, podcasting for five, I have never known. And Alexis is the first one up and she picks Dimitri. And before this, there's a conversation with the women where Alexis says, what I think she says is, should I pick him first? And so are the women told what the order is going to be that they're picking before the matchup ceremony?
Do you think they might have had like a dress, like they have like a dress rehearsal? And like, because like, you know, on Big Brother, they do the voting before, like they do a, like kind of like a test, or not a test, but a practice run. Do you think they do that? And then just so they like, they're aware of what's going to happen, so everything runs smoothly. Like it's TV, so it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, practice run or not, I just didn't even know that they knew in advance. And this makes so much sense now, because it's like, you know, when people, you always think the producers, like I always thought that they tell the producers who they want to pick and then the producers make the order based on like the most drama, like having Nerys go first or Didi. But Alexis is having a conversation during the day and says, oh, should I just pick him first? So now I'm thinking they get told the order beforehand, which also makes sense.
Yeah, I guess. No matter what, I'm sure they definitely want there to be the most drama, but it does seem like they definitely tell them beforehand. And also, I told Alexis, like, not that I ever thought she was dumb, but I feel like when she said that, I was like, okay, like, do you think, like, who's the female pulling the strings? Because I know we had, like, Tori a few seasons ago, and, like, last year was Derek. Like, it feels like, was Jada in that conversation? My mind's going towards that Jada was the one, like, kind of calling the shot there.
Yeah, I have no idea where this strategy is coming from. We get Audrey sort of explaining it during the ceremony that they, like, you know, it's not been working and they want to, you know, try something different. And like, while she likes Michael, she thinks Shad could be her match. So I don't really know who's, you know, who's pulling the strings here, yeah. Honestly. But I don't get why, back to Alexis for a second, Keith gets this line, like, I'm still the only guy in the house that could handle her. Like, why are they apart again? People corrected us from the corrections department this week that we were confused why Keith said Alexis was his ex. And people were saying they meant like Alexis. It was like a metaphor, like Alexis is just like his ex.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. He is treating her like he's his ex. She's his ex.
Yeah. I don't get when people say ex in the house, because you've been together for such a limited time. And I don't know, maybe I'm like, I always think about this, but like in relationships for me, I don't consider like it real until like you're dating them for at least a decent amount of time. So even if these people were together for the month on the show, like I think that's still not enough time to really get to know someone. So when they say X, like I don't take it seriously.
Yeah, no, fair enough. So then Deandra picks Kareem in the WTF moment of the week. I'm with Joe. Like I fell out of my chair when this happened.
Oh yeah, I fell out of I was sitting on multiple chairs and I fell out of all of them.
You need a booster? What's going on?
Yeah, well, it was a chair booster and then another chair on top of the second booster.
So this is crazy to me, but I will say, to the women's credit, thank you for understanding that you don't have to sit, like, who you sit next to in a matchup ceremony is not who you like. But I am shocked that they were able to convince Deandra not to pick Malcolm.
Yeah, that was, and you know what? Like, good for, good, I'm giving Didi some credit here. She didn't sit with Malcolm, and it was awesome to see his reaction. I was very happy with that.
And then Zoe, who Terrence put so perfectly, that's his name, right? I just brain farted. Yep. Okay, Terrence J says, I'm still half expecting to see Ryan when the host comes out. It's like still throwing me off.
I know. It's so sad that he's no longer with us.
I don't miss him. I just, like, I still expect him.
I miss him. I miss Ryan. I do like Terrence J, but I miss Ryan, too. I want the Bulls to let them host together. Let's go American Idol season one and let them host together.
The Dunkelman.
Yes.
So he's like, you shared an intimate moment with Kareem. So Zoe says she still feels like there's something with Kareem. Kareem deads her in front of everyone. My feelings are somewhere else. But at the end of the day, I'm going to, quote, play ball because she could be my match. Kareem's an asshole. Zoe looks like an idiot. And then to add insult to injury, Zoe has to stand next to Joe with his hair the way it is.
Yeah, Joe, I think I've come around on Joe. I think he's a cool guy. I think he makes up for his maybe lack of muscles. And I think he's very fluent. I think he's a good speaker. I'm not a fan of the straightened hair, though. I don't think that would benefit him most, especially when he's looking to find love in the house.
So we don't have a hot mess best dress of the week from Molly this week because she was watching with too many people and it moved too fast. And once she saw Joe's hair, she couldn't see anything else. She almost threw up. It was so disgusting.
Good
so
point.
There's that.
Good point. No, I agree. And I when here's a little advice for Zoe. There's a great rapping guy named Ethan in the house, and he's single. So obviously it hasn't worked out with her and Kareem or Keith, but Ethan is still available. So get a move on, Zoe.
I love that you... you're always going to plug Ethan for all the women.
Yep. And his music career. Hopefully you guys buy his music and whatever else he's selling.
That's perfect. So then Uche comes out and I have my best dress of the week. Uche's outfit is my favorite outfit of the season so far. She looked phenomenal. She picks Clinton, no surprise. And then Terrence with the best line. You lock your asses in. I love it.
You lock your asses in. That's great. Terrence Day always coming in with the hotliners.
Then yeah, we already talked about Audrey. She likes Michael, but she picks Shad. Jada picks Tyler, Kiana picks Anthony, Nicole picks Ethan, Jaleesa picks Michael, and Reese picks Keith. Okay.
Yeah.
Olivia picks Malcolm, and Olivia's heartbroken about Kareem. Keith, while this is going through boom boom boom, has this like big voiceover speech, but I honestly, I'm sorry guys, this is unprofessional. I can no longer hear him. I have applied a subconscious Keith filter. I don't understand. I am not trying to. I try to listen to him and I just can't.
I don't blame you. I feel like we're all allowed to have like three people where we just stop listening.
So we get three beams. Were you expecting a blackout here?
I wasn't expecting a blackout because of Clinton and Uche, but I wasn't expecting three beams. And I know the guys weren't happy with the girl strategy. And I was seeing some questions on Twitter that we were getting, and it made me think, do we even really know what their strategy was? Like, was it just pick someone who could potentially be your match to switch things up?
Yeah, so Aisha on Twitter said, what did the women base their strategy on, past matchups or what? It kind of seems like at least the only explanation we get is from Audrey that she like sees things in Shad that they could be a perfect match. Okay, like I guess they're just trying to think of like, okay, maybe it's not who I'm most attracted to, but like let me think of what the matchmakers asked me. Let me think about,
yeah,
you know, the what do I need, what do I want? Yep. Thing. That's maybe what I think they were thinking about. And I guess it worked better than anything they'd been doing, but I suspect that one of the five couples or six couples, maybe including Olivia and Malcolm, that we actually saw discussion with are the three beams. I think the most random are Jada and Tyler, Kiana and Anthony, Nicole and Ethan, Jaleesa and Michael, Nerys and Keith.
Yeah.
I think they're out.
Oh yeah, I agree.
And the issue with this kind of strategy is like, yeah, you have three beams, but you have absolutely no information.
Yeah, no, and like there's nothing to be happy about after this. And I feel like a lot of these people are so invested in the couples and who they're with and in finding love that like some of them are don't even care at this point. Like Kareem and Olivia are going to be a lot more focused on figuring out each other than they're going to be with finding out all of these matches.
No, definitely. And then we had another question from Facebook. Jennifer O'Hara says, so like while this is going on, Joe says that he's almost like finding it hard to be attracted to these women making these kinds of decisions. Jennifer O'Hara says, why is Joe on the show? He realizes how silly these people are acting, yeah, and is making too much sense. I don't know. He's making too much sense. That's Jennifer's words.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about Joe right now?
I think Joe's kind of annoying, honestly. Mm. Like, he's no better than anyone, and they got three beams, so, like, suck on that, Joe.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there, and I guess when I like someone or either one, I don't think it's a like. I think it's I don't hate them as much as I hate the people that I despise. So, like, Joe hasn't done enough where I'm like, oh, screw this guy. But I didn't necessarily agree with what he was saying at the matchup ceremony.
See, I think what's hurting this season is, like, so many of them are, like, archetypes from seasons past.
Yeah.
That, like, Joe, I expected to be, like, Zach Longo-esque, but he's, like, not as lovable. He's, like, a little sharper, a little rough around the edges. So, like, I'm almost, like, expecting one thing, and I get disappointed when he's, like, edgier. So, whatever. But call your shots. Who do you think are the three matches?
Oh, my God. I have to... Okay, it's definitely Clint and Uche, right? That's 100%. I think Shad and Audrey could be a match. I really, because if she sees something in Shad and doesn't seem like anyone else does, I think they could be a match. And who am I going to pick for the third one? Ooh, who is Dimitri matched with?
Dimitri is with Alexis.
You know,
DeAndre and Kareem.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm going to go with DeAndre and Kareem.
Are any reason or just calling a blind shot there?
I don't know. I feel like they've both proven to be awful at some point in the season, so I think that they would be a nice fit together.
I'm gonna put Zoe and Joe on the table as a possibility.
Yeah. That's a good call.
Like they could be a match. Uche and Clinton 100%. Maybe Audrey and Shad. And I would say also DeAndre and Kareem, like those four to me are in contention to be the three matches.
Yeah.
We shall see more information every week. I was going to ask you what you think will happen with Olivia and Kareem, but we got a little bonus at the end of after the matchup that kind of told the story.
Wait, hold on. I have no idea what you're talking about.
So at the end of the matchup, like they showed Kareem and Olivia talking, and Kareem is making big apology, and like some men F up, they learn from it. It only made me fall for you more.
Yeah.
And then Zoe's like, I look so dumb. She does.
Yes. And what I for some reason, when you said that, I thought you meant there was the after show.
Olivia says she looks
so dumb. Yeah, I thought you meant the after show. Like, there was, like,
No.
Yeah, and I was like, what am I just the worst Are You the One, like, watcher of all time? But no.
No, okay. You're good.
I remember that. Yeah, no, I'm not surprised at all. And I think Olivia's a really smart, pretty girl. I hope she realizes that Kareem's nothing more than a douche and she could do better.
See, I don't know. Like, I have to, like, own my own shit. Like, this would work on me, has worked on me, is currently working on me. Like, he's there apologizing. She likes him so much. He's saying all the right things. And they're going to be back on track. And I think most men or women would make this work.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I just don't like Kareem so much that I don't want to see him happy. And this is really bad because I'm judging an edited TV character really hard. But,
also, they're in a closed universe. It's not exactly like they can break up and never see each other again.
Very
like,
true.
Kareem's there day in and day out with her.
It's tough to get over someone when you're just there. You wake up and they're sleeping in a few beds over from you. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know? So you're right. Yeah, that's a good point.
So we were on a regular schedule for this, except there was no date, which I think made this episode drag a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Ligori said, my first episode ever watching live, and there's a matchup ceremony at the end of the episode again. I have superpowers, right?
Yeah, no, good. Thank you. We appreciate you watching, Matt, because you've really given us structure. So
yeah, exactly.
Thanks for watching. Because do you think the editors were like, Matt's going to watch? We have to make this like structured since he's not used to this new format.
I think that's probably it. Haley Strong, just not a question for us, but a question for the audience. Happy to put this out for her. Can you ask your audience where I can get Audrey's Mimosas lipstick and taco shirt? Thank you. So if anyone has access to that, please at Haley Strong _ for that. And then Matt Ligori also wants to know, is it too early to pick some potential future challenge recruits? Answer, no, it's not too early. Let's make some calls.
Cool.
Adam, who would you want to see on the challenge from this season?
I know I wouldn't want to see Dimitri. Like, even with drum, I don't think he will at anything. I think, who do I want to see? If Clinton would be no drama, but he'd be like, I feel like he'd be very talented and he's probably a good athlete because he's going to be good at everything. I, and this is crazy. I want to see Malcolm. I want to see Malcolm because he reminds me a little bit of Theo from The Real World. Like, just, and we saw Theo flop on the challenge. So I think Malcolm going in there and being this playboy douche would really get crapped on early on. And I really want to see that.
What the challenge needs is some strong females.
Yes.
And I don't know where the athleticism lies here. If any of these women are athletes, that's my ticket right there. One, boom, punch it. I'd love to see Alexis on the challenge. I think she would be great. I'd like to see Uche on the challenge. I don't think she'd like last long in terms of like, I think if she would be a one and done on the season, but I'd like to give her a chance. And then I agree with Malcolm completely. I think he would be good. And I think maybe even Keith, like he'd be kind of huntery, but, you know, I think he'd be good on the show.
Yeah. And Keith kind of reminds me of like just the physical demeanor of John from season four. I think that was his name. The one who was obsessed with Julia and like went crazy. That was John, right? He was like the tall
Steven. The one who was obsessed with him.
Yes,
John.
And I feel like I was sure when watching that season we were going to see him on a challenge. So because he was drama, he was athletic, like he had everything the challenge looks for. So I was really surprised when we never saw him on anything, and maybe we still will, but it's looking more unlikely as each season goes along. So Keith, I feel like, reminds me of him, not from personality wise, but like physically. So I wouldn't be opposed to it, but I don't know if it's likely.
Time will tell. That's a good callback. I forgot about John too. You're right. I thought he definitely would have been on the show.
Mm-hmm.
sorry. Glad I only started coughing then. I've been battling a cold for a while.
It was really nice of you to turn your cold off for Are You the One? Like, not many people have that power, but it's really good that you were blessed with it.
So speaking of blessings, thank you everyone who left us 5-star reviews this week. Ben, Cope, Cat Ev, Cat Eyes 1114,
wow.
And ARG number one. I always want to say hashtag, even though it's number one. I'm such a millennial. Thank you. We appreciate it. If you want to let us know you're watching Are You the One, please leave us your review at robhasawebsite.com/challenge iTunes and subscribe there to get all of our Are You the One coverage and also our challenge coverage with my co-host there, Brian Cohen. This week, I was joined by a fellow Northwestern alum, Jonathan Foreman, who we had a lot of fun. I think it's a great show. It's up now when you're listening to this. And until then, you can follow me at Lash Tweets or Allie Lasher on the TV Party app. I think I said it was Allie.Lasher last week. It's not. And you can follow Adam
at Adam Bonjo.
And we will see you next week for even more drama and more antics.
Take care, friends.